بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dieser System von Allah Ta'ala that He grants excellence and virtue to certain occasions, times, people over others. The first heaven as compared to the seventh heaven is inferior, I won't say inferior, but lower. So the seventh heaven is superior to the first heaven, and so will be the arsh superior to the heaven, and so forth and so on. The superiority is by divine decision. It isn't any person's intervention that will grant him this type of superiority. Allah Ta'ala willed it that this must be superior, that He made it such. In the week, Friday is superior to the rest of the days. Again, this is by divine decision. Nobody's intervention can work here. Then amongst people, we'll find variances in ranks. The awliya-i-kiram, Allah Ta'ala grants them superiority over the rest of mankind. Then above the awliya-i-kiram, we find the sahaba-i-kiram, and then the sahaba-i-kiram's maqam and their position is over the awliya-i-kiram. Then at the point that the awliya-i-kiram and the sahaba-i-kiram end, this is where the anbiya commence. This is the commencing point. So the lowest of the anbiya is higher than all the awliya, the sahaba, and everybody put together. We should not say that the anbiya alayhi salam are low, but it is a relative statement. In other words, in comparison to the other anbiya alayhi salam, obviously they are not in the same line, so therefore we say lower. Otherwise they are all perfect, they are complete, they are all excellent. Then in comparison to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Rasul-e Pak sallam is far, far superior, far, far greater. The excellence of Rasul-e Pak sallam as compared to the rest of the anbiya are like stars compared to the sun. It's no comparison. So this type of superiority that has been blessed, this is a divine choice, divine decision. When it's a divine decision, then it's pointless we wondering and discussing this, why has he been favored, or why has the Jummah been favored, or why, for example, the Arsh has been favored over the heavens, or why, for example, the seventh heaven is been favored over the rest of the heavens. Then you find, even in places, for example, the Kaaba Sharif, the spot that the Kaaba Sharif is in, is superior to the rest of the world. And the place where the Rasul-e Pasim lays, that is even superior to the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this is by divine decision. Allah Ta'ala had taken the decision that this must be like this, and it is like this. Hence, when it is the divine decision, then nobody should be wasting his time questioning the reasons for this. Be questioning the reasons for it, obviously, it's going to be a waste of time, you're not going to get anything out of it. In the day of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some woman desired to be men. Had we been men, then we could have been able to participate in Jamaat Namaz, we could have participated in the Jummah, we could have participated in Jihad, we could have participated in the Janazas. Now that we are women, we can't come for Jamaat Namaz, we can't participate in Jummah, nor in Jihad, nor in Janaza, all the four jims. So men, they can participate, they go out, and they acquire all this additional fazilat and reward, significance and virtue, and we can't gain that type of sawab. Then again, in the inheritance providing the estate, men get a doubled share than a woman. So had we been women, we had been men, we could have got even more than what we are getting now. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the verse of the Quran, لَا تَتَمَنَّوْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. What Allah Ta'ala has already decided and already accomplished, then don't you aspire for that. He's already accomplished this, he's already decided on this, so you desiring on the, along that lines will get you nowhere. You'll aspire and aspire and aspire, and you'll still remain what you are. If you are a woman, then you'll remain a woman. So what's the need for you to aspire for that? What will you get for aspiring, for being a man? You won't get anything. So don't aspire along those lines. That will bring you nowhere. It will be fruitless. It will be a waste of time. And it will leave you with nothing but agony and grief. And after all the agony and the pain, you're not going to get anywhere. So when you're not going to get anywhere, why go around it? Don't go around that. A Muslim must employ his energy, his time, and his wealth in things that will bring him something. But doesn't bring him anything. So why must he employ his energy in that? Allah Pak has given the ability to reason. He's given the ability to rationalize. And that ability to rationalize is that you may bring something to yourself that is virtuous, that is beneficial, that is rewarding. Now you put your mind into this, what have you got? You haven't got anything. So don't allow your mind to wander in those areas that won't bring you anything. So one is to ask for that which is normally impossible. For Allah Ta'ala to change the person from a man to a woman, it's possible. Isn't that possible? But generally this is impossible. According to our understanding and reasoning, this thing doesn't happen. So we don't allow our minds to go in that line. Then there is another area that may not be impossible totally, but normally it doesn't happen. Normally it doesn't happen. Like for example, a person is handicapped, he's got a stroke of paralysis, and apart from all that, he's physically very, very weak, but he's aspiring to come out first in the Olympics. I don't say it is impossible, but does it happen normally? It doesn't happen. When it doesn't happen, then don't put your mind in that. You're going to aspire to work for that, to work for that, to work for that, and at the end, you don't get that. You don't get there, right? Now, it's a person, for example, that is not capable, right? He's not capable, and he doesn't have the talent, he doesn't have the potential, he doesn't have the type of ability, right? When he doesn't have that ability, he doesn't have that potential, he doesn't have the type, that level of intelligence, whatever, right? And he wants to become the greatest professor of the time. You know, he's backwards in every level, he's retarded, he can't reason. When he can't do all these basic things and he wants to reach up there, we don't say that it is totally impossible, but normally such a person can't reach up to that point. So this is one level where generally you will not reach. Where you will not reach, then don't put your mind, your brains, your time, your effort, don't put it there. Buzurgan Adin say that when a person works in this way, what happens to him is his whole life is passed, he doesn't achieve anything, and he only takes along with him agony, grief and pain. He doesn't produce anything that is substantial, that is rewarding, etc. Similar is the case with people who keep dwelling over the past. This person, he did me down and he kept me backwards. He didn't show me the type of attention. He didn't think good for me. So today I'm backwards, I'm handicapped because of this person. Right? Or I'm in this wrong, but I'm in this wrong because of that person. So that is also a wrong type of thinking. Although you will find psychologists, they sometimes reason in this manner. That reasoning doesn't bring any good. It may be a contributing factor, but that reason doesn't bring any good. Person will say, you know, he abused, right? He's a child abuser or something. And then they will try and work out his history, right? And when they worked out his history, they will say, all right, he was abused by someone. So because someone abused him, so this became part of his makeup. Right? And he felt like abusing also. So why is abusing? Because he was abused. Right? So that's the justification. That's the legitimization. But I ask you, does it bring any good to this individual? It doesn't bring any good to this individual. Apart from not bringing any good to that individual, instead of him acknowledging his wrong, he will try and justify the wrong that he's doing. He's not trying to acknowledge and correct himself, but now he's trying to justify his status. That I'm doing this, but I'm doing this because this was done to me, therefore I'm doing it, so therefore I'm excused in the situation. But the right approach and the right way of reasoning is to acknowledge mistake, that I have wronged. If that person has done this to me, it doesn't give me the license to do it. Someone robbed me, doesn't give me a license to rob the next person. Someone committed murder to someone that was immediate to me, then does it give me justification to do the same thing to someone else? No, it doesn't justify. That wrong is wrong. That reasoning is warped, you see. Sometimes the psychologist, his reasoning is warped. And then you go away with the warped reasoning. We need to go with a constructive reasoning. All right, I have done a wrong, and I need to accept the guilt for the wrong that I have done. And then I need to go for some type of a therapy, some type of a session where I will correct myself, I will rectify myself. And we go in this way, then we're leading mankind to retrogression. Then you'll find the gay groups will come up and say, no, because other people are doing it or someone did that to me, therefore I am naturally inclined towards this. Now these are no ways to justify. It's not a way to justify. It's leading mankind to destruction, to the wrong end, to the wrong thinking. Whether it was done, or whether I have an inclination towards it, then therefore I must do it. So that means that anybody has got a natural inclination towards anything that is not pleasant, then he must be allowed to do it. That's what it means. So tomorrow someone says, no, I got an inclination towards drugs. So I must do drugs. So how are you going to stop him then? Then will you have any system? You're not going to have any system. So it's a wrong. First step is you accept the wrong. Acknowledge the wrong. Because what stops others? You'll say, no, you got an inclination. The next person says, you know, hey, it's such a nice thing. Let me go and try it out. The third person, you got a whole big jamaat of baboons, right? All gays, all one monkey jamaat. Taking a big protest in Cape Town. And it became a whole jamaat of their own. Right? If it is wrong, it's wrong. It's dirty, it's dirty, it's filthy, it's filthy. Are you taking out a protest, you're legitimizing, and then countries upon countries, right? Then they are told that you must give recognition to this group. But that person didn't have it in him, now you must give recognition. So that type of evil, that type of vice, that was not around, now you give recognition to it. In the natural way of life, you are moving away, you are deviating. Right? When you're moving away from the natural way of life, it's an artificial, it's a made-up thing. Right? It's artificial, it is made-up. Right? And it is also very disgraceful. right? If it was something that was worthy of praise, right? Say for example, it was worthy of praise, gay relationship, etc. If it was for one moment, if you think it was worthy of praise, then you got Obama, right? And then you got, for example, the head of, say England, for example, Blair, whoever, right? Presently. Then he must say, no, he's my gay partner. He must come to a parliament session, say, this is my gay partner and we love each other. He must kiss in front of everybody. Everybody must snap them. Are they prepared to do that? Are they prepared to go in church like they will marry? For example, Obama and Blair, they go together and say, no, we married together and we love each other. And are they prepared to do it? So the fact that they're not doing it shows that this is very disgraceful. It shows that it is not only disgraceful, but something that people disgust, they dislike. It's not a thing of respect. So naturally also, it doesn't have an appeal to people. Apart from doing something that is made up, apart from leading men towards destruction and ruin, you also feel very, very, very disgraceful. You feel also very humiliated. If someone tells you and they introduce you in that manner, then you feel humiliated. Say, or tomorrow, you know, they had the Diana's nikah there, right? So they had such a big television cover-up. The whole world singing about it, right? Right. So today now you can have Diana's sons and then let them get into a gay relationship and have a big nikah for them. Will they get that type of a cover-up for that? They won't get it. Because they know it's disgraceful, it is disliked, it's contemptible, right? And really, we're not supposed to be speaking about this, but because this has become the in thing, right? Now, a normal person will feel in his mind that when it's an in thing, why should we speak against it? It's not the in thing, it's the out thing. It's the out thing means that it needs to be out. So that out, don't bring it in. Like number two is supposed to be out. And don't bring it in. That was supposed to be out, leave it out. So what we are talking about, that Allah Ta'ala has given excellence to certain things. Right? And certain excellence is such that it is by divine appointment. And when it's by divine appointment, then nobody can get up there. And some types of excellence are such that though logically you can achieve it, but normally it doesn't happen. Normally it doesn't happen. Like, say someone sitting here and he wants to become the king of Saudi Arabia. Does it normally happen? It doesn't happen. So it's impossible. It can't happen. So don't waste your time in that. So one is total impossible, one is other than it doesn't happen. Normally it doesn't happen. So don't waste your time in that. So then what should you be doing? Yeah, go for those things that you can progress. See now, this is the way of the trick of shaitan. Shaitan tricks you into going to things that are impossible, not manageable. Normally it won't happen, right? Under normal circumstances it doesn't happen. So he tricks you in turning your mind towards that. So the thing that you're supposed to be going for, then you are not going for that. So the right way of thinking is what is possible for me, what is manageable, let me work towards that. When we talk of food, for example, right? So I don't have the best food today. I don't have barbecue, I don't have biryani, I don't have this type of varieties to eat. So I will not say now that I don't have those type of varieties to don't eat. I need something to energize myself, to keep myself moving. I need something. So whatever is there, even if it's dry bread, water or something, let me eat that and let me continue. And let me happy. Let me be happy with it as well. Not only eat it and run my life, but with eating it, running my life, and let me be happy also. Because that happiness also adds to that energy. When you're happy about what you got, now you got water, you got bread, whatever little you got, and you're eating and you're feeling happy about what you have got. So you make life pleasant with the people around you. All those that are around you, they feel comfortable with you. But if you go on grumbling, then those that are around you, they also feel miserable. Apart from the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with this type of an attitude, the little that you've got, you're enjoying it, you're eating it, and you're happy about it, then Allah ta'ala also is happy with you, is pleased with you. Alhamdulillah, whatever I've got, I'm happy with it, and I'm enjoying it. And in the heavens, Allah ta'ala is happy. In the earth, people that are around me, they are happy. Myself, I feel, alhamdulillah, I feel good about it. So within yourself, you're feeling good. Around the people that you are living with, they're feeling good. In the heavens, Allah ta'ala is happy with you. So you're not in any loss. All around, you are enjoying. The heavens, the people of the heaven are happy with you. In the earth, people of the earth are happy with you. Within yourself, you're feeling happy. Now, this is the prescription of Islam. What you've got, then be happy. You're happy, then everybody around you is happy. Life around you is revolving well. You didn't make it, we didn't make it today. But you can always try. Try. You know, I wanted to do so much more, but I couldn't do it. Alhamdulillah. It's not that I didn't do anything. I'm happy for what I've got. Tomorrow will be another day. Let me try tomorrow. So, grieving over the past is also a waste of time. And then not being pleased with the present, that is also wasting your time. You're grieving, keep grieving, grieving, agonizing over the past. Right? And then you are not happy with the present, this is also wasting your time. It's also bringing despondency, it's bringing depression, it's bringing unnecessary sadness. And then if it was sadness just to yourself, it was one thing, but it's bringing misery to the people all around you. If you are, you've got wife, you've got a child, you've got children, you've got parents, right? When you're feeling miserable, one day also feel miserable. They also feel miserable. So all around you also feel miserable. You feel miserable, the people around you feel miserable. But if you only apply this Islamic prescription, what you have got, be happy. Don't grieve over the past. It's gone out of mind, finished, collapsed. It's rubbed out, obliterated. Right? So don't worry about the past and be happy with what you have got for the present. So now this brings about stamina. When you got happiness and you have got you have got happiness, it brings about stamina. It brings about motivation in what you're doing. It makes you feel enthusiastic for what you have to do. So that is why the Quran Sharif also recommends this very strongly. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't you give up. And don't grieve over the past. Don't keep thinking about the past. Now, broken record. Keep thinking about the past. That's not a Muslim way. It's against the Quran that. Forget the وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. It's against the Quranic teaching. Don't give up. And don't you dwell over the past in such a manner that you begin to give up. Whatever stamina, whatever strength you had, whatever you had, that you're giving up. So what you left with, you nothing. You left with nothing. You could have done a little bit, but no, you gave yourself to all that past wrong that you have done. All you keep thinking about it. So did you do any good for yourself, any contribution? Make tawbah, istighfar, and end that. Just corner it up now. You make tawbah, you make istighfar, and end that up afterwards. You don't have to keep thinking about it. Whatever remedial steps you needed to take, you took those remedial steps and you're continuing with your life. That's obviously normal and logical, that if you needed to do some type of a remedial step, you take a remedial step, right? The tire has burst, so you need to take a remedial step, you take that remedial step. There is the washer that is not working, so you correct that thing. If the roof is leaking, you correct that thing. You take the remedial step, but you continue with your life. You don't say, hey, the roof is leaking now. Roof is leaking. And the builder, why made a mess up, you know. And the contractor, hey, is a sellout, you know. And the workers also, they all failures, you know. You don't keep thinking like this and don't work. All right, they made a mistake. Next time I won't deal with such people that are not so good in their work. But for now, I must get onto my feet, get the thing fixed up and move on with my life. Because of their stupidity, because of their backwardness, why must I be backwards? They went backwards, so because of their backwards, must I also go backwards? No. They went, it's their business. But because of their stupidity, I must act stupid. Right. So, wala tahinu wala tahzan. You see this golden advice of the Quran Sharif. Don't you give up. Don't give up. Wala tahzanu, don't unnecessarily put yourself into grief and pain. We are Muslim. When we are Muslims, we believe in taqdeer. It is by the taqdeer of Allah Ta'ala, the will of Allah Ta'ala that this happened. Or someone died, you keep grieving. Why he died, how he died. Will you bring any good to yourself? Will you go forward? I'm not going to go forward. It's happened, now try and put the remedial thing in place and then move on into your life. Move on with your life. So this is Shaitan's way. He tricks you in putting you into grief unnecessarily and then he stops you from moving forward. And what Allah Pak wants, no. You don't put yourself into the jam. You will get jammed up. You won't move. You want to put yourself into the jam, you're going to get jammed. You're not going to move. So you don't put yourself, don't get stuck, you move on. How are you going to move on? The secret to that, be happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, you decided, I'm happy with your decree. There must be some good in this. I don't need to know all the good that you have in store for me, but there must be some good why you have designed it in this way. When the time will come, I will understand in time, I will understand the good that is in for me. Now I don't understand it. It's all right, I don't understand it. But in time, I will get to know the good that you have placed in, the secret, and the good that you have placed into it. Like for example, you are a youngster, right? Or middle age. Allah didn't give you too much of wealth. Gave you wealth, khata, pita, breaking even, giving you so much of wealth. Now you are wishing, why this person got so much of wealth and I don't have that wealth? Why has he got so much of the material and I don't have it? Right. So, Allah Pak says, no, la tatamanna, don't you wish for it. Don't wish for that. The reason is this. I gave you the reasons why you shouldn't be wishing for this. And then it is divine appointment. When it's divine appointment, then Allah Pak knows that why this was better for this person and not good for this person. For example, now, this person doesn't have a very good voice. That person has a very good voice, but this person doesn't have a beautiful voice. Right. So now, if he is wishing for a very good voice, this could have been a fitna for him. He's got a very good voice, and he could be reading for an audience, just for show, and just for publicity, and just for people to support him, people to talk good about him. Right? So, when he's going to be doing that for publicity and for show, will this be a destruction and a ruin for him, or will it be some benefit for him? So Allah Pak didn't give him that voice. So when he didn't give him that voice, really, that became a protection for him. It became a protection for him. He didn't give him that wealth. He gave this person that wealth, but this person, he didn't give him that wealth. Had he got that wealth, he would have wasted wealth, he would have squandered wealth, or he could have used it in wrong avenues, he could have used his influence for wrong reasons. Right? He's got wealth and affluence, he could have used his affluence and influence for the wrong reasons. Right? So Allah Ta'ala didn't give him this. So when he didn't give him this, so hence he doesn't have the chance to use his influence and affluence for the wrong reasons. Musa alayhi salam had passed by a person, saw him state of poverty. Real poverty, utter poverty, and so poor that in order to cover his private areas, he covered himself with dust, with sand, so that at least his private areas are not exposed. So he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala remove his poverty. And replace his poverty with wealth. Like we would have seen someone poor, we would also thought the same, abject poverty, so let Allah Ta'ala change his condition. Anyway, after some time, Musa al-Islam passed the same place, a couple of good years, 4, 5, 6 years, he passed the same place, and he sees a big crowd of people, they looking at something. And you see when there's a big crowd watching, on their toes they're watching what's going on. So Musa al-Islam also felt curious to know what's going on. He said, now this person, some person is being beheaded. He's being beheaded. So who is this person? He wanted to know, who is this person? He said, you know that same poor person that you made dua for. But what happened? So, you know, then he became very wealthy. Very, very wealthy. So wealthy and so affluent. With affluence, he got influence. When he got influence, then he didn't know his limits. Because he had that strength. When he had the material strength, he didn't know his limits. When he didn't know his limits, then he went into wrong. One vice into the other vice. And the third vice because of his influence. Affluence brought influence. Influence made him forget his limits. And then he got involved in vice until he killed someone. When he killed someone, he had to be killed. See, so that wealth in itself was a good thing, but he did not know how to control that wealth. So that poverty was the better thing for him. When came that wealth, like that wealth came, but it came with all the evil. See, so many a time we don't have that, and that is the better thing for us. And many a times we involve in some type of an occupation that is permissible and halal, that also is better for us. Now, we have got wives, we've got children, we have to take care of our homes, etc., etc. So it's a worry that goes in the mind. Right. Now, for most people, that is a blessing. Although it looks like a difficulty, it looks like a pain, but it's a blessing. Because that occupation that you've got, it, the way it covers you, the way it wraps you up, that it becomes like a barrier, it becomes a fortress against sin. Now the whole day, now you're worried, I need to sell this thing here, or I need to do this work, I need to complete it, I will get that money, and I can take good care of my wife and my children, etc. So that becomes a fortress against many wrong. See. So what is better for you, what is not better for you, Allah Pak knows. But you remain happy in the state Allah Ta'ala has kept you. You remain happy in the state that Allah Ta'ala has kept you. But obviously you are a man. When you are a man, that you want to progress. You want more and more and more. Right? Whether in knowledge, whether in righteousness, whether in material, whether whichever way, you want some type of a progress. A child that is in grade 1 doesn't want to remain there. He wants progress, isn't it? If parents also want the same thing. You want to be stationary in life. You want to progress. He's in the first sipara in Hivs. They want to see progress. Right? Nobody wants to remain stationary. You want to see progress. So that is your life. You don't want to see yourself to be at one position. But now, what is better for you? Do you know it? You don't know. Wealth is better or not? You don't know. Influence is better or not, you don't know about it. Right? Then in the circumstance, what are you supposed to be doing? So Allah Pak says, وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ. What you do is you ask for Allah Ta'ala's grace. Right? When you ask for Allah Ta'ala's grace, in other words, what is the most appropriate thing for you? The grace of Allah Ta'ala, in which form it should come to me, in which form it should come to him. So Allah Ta'ala knows you, he knows your past, he knows your future. So in which way the grace of Allah Ta'ala must come to you, he knows it. Doesn't he know it? He's made you, so he knows that in which form, which way his grace must come to you. So sometimes Allah may give you wealth. Right? So his grace comes to you in the shape of wealth, in the form of wealth. That was better for you. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala didn't give you wealth, but he give you very good health. You don't have that wealth, but you got very good health. Now sometimes you will see, you are at the age of say 50 or 40, right? You're very healthy. Then you see someone around your age or younger than you, but he's on his dialysis, got a heart problem. Occasionally he gets a stroke of paralysis. Do you want to bargain with his life? You don't want to bargain with his life. Although he's much wealthier, so he has tons of wealth, but you don't want to bargain for his life. Why don't you want to? Because you know, you understand the value of life, of good health. So he's blessed you with good health and he's blessed him with wealth. Right? And you're happy with your state? Aren't you happy with your state? So what is good for you, he knows it. So when he knows what is the better thing for you, then the right thing for you to do is then to ask for his grace. Because he knows in which form and which shape his grace will be best for you, best suited for you, he knows about it. What you must do then? Ask for his grace. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ So that woman, she mustn't ask and she mustn't aspire to be a man. Right? She mustn't aspire to be a man. But what she must do is she must ask for the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Now, she asking for being a man, right? Maybe she didn't have the type of courage and the type of strength that is required for a man. And now she's been moved, shifted from a woman to a man, but without the courage, without the determination, what's going to happen? She's going to put herself into problems. So Allah Pak said, you don't ask for that. But the future for everybody, the itinerary of each person, I know it. So you'll keep asking me, and you'll keep asking me for my grace. Keep asking me for my grace. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِي Why? إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا Allah Ta'ala is fully aware. He knows of everybody. Anything and everything, he knows about it. When he knows of everything and everybody, he has designed this. It's by divine appointment. When he has divinely appointed this, then be happy with his appointment. But because you've got this tabiat, that you don't feel comfortable being stationary at one level. You want to move all the time. You want to move and progress. So Allah Pak takes care of this sentiment of ours, this emotions and the sentiment that we want to progress all the time. So how does he take care? He says, now you ask me for my grace. I will give it to you. That is why on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Pak is distributing rewards and sawab, right? Then people will see that this person was patient. He was endurant. He persevered against difficulties, trials, tribulations. And then they will see mountains and mountains of rewards coming to his account. On account of his patience, perseverance, people used to swear him, abuse him. He kept quiet. He didn't have so much of wealth, but he was patient with what Allah had given him, was content and happy with it. So he anticipated this person. What he did, he anticipated that I'll get something for all this. All I'm going through, then I'm making ihtisab for it. I don't have that wealth that I desire for. I don't have that health that I'm desirous of. I don't have that type of opportunities that I'm desirous of. But I make ihtisab. I wish something in return will come for me. Whether in this world, whether in the next world, whether in both worlds. But I wish for some return to come to me. Now on the day of Qiyamah now, what will happen? Now, Allah Ta'ala is distributing the sawab, everybody. Nawaz, zakat, hajj, everybody got the sawab. Now it came to that person who endured. He restrained, he resisted. Although the temptation was there, but for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and with the anticipation that Allah Pak is going to give him something better, he resisted. Now everybody is being given their sawab. So when it comes to his turn for getting sawab, right, people look at him, they'll wish, you know, a trillionaire, he'll wish, had I been in this person's place, it would have been much more better. My eyes only opened up today. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٍ Allah Pak removed that veil that was in your eye, that veneer, and that veil from the eye was removed. So now you can see things in perspective. Before you couldn't see it. You just heard about it, but you couldn't see it so clearly. Now Allah Ta'ala will remove that veil from your eye, now you can see it. When you're seeing it, now that person that is so wealthy, so powerful and influential, he is longing that he could have been in your place. He's longing that he could have gone through that difficulty, that pain, that agony, that grief. Because life had to come to some end. At the end, that is the winning point. The person that is running the marathon, right? He's still by Camperdown, right? And at Camperdown, he's rejoicing. You know, hey, I won the race. Right? What do you say? Boy, no, boy. You have to come right to Durban. The winning point is Durban. Camperdown, hey, you are taking the decision before time. You're preempting. And you're so sure about yourself. No, no, boy, you're wrong. He's rejoicing, having beer and fun, and all the people are coming to congratulate him. By what do you say? What will you say? His stupidity, naivety, you're preempting wrongly. Not supposed to be doing this. Just continue with the race. So the winning point is death. Remember that, mark it in your mind, in your head. The winning point is death. All that comes before death is not a sign of your winning. No matter how much you got or how less you got, it's not a sign of you winning the race. The winning the race is at a point, and that point is called death. That's the winning point. Right. Now it comes to that person who resisted, and he had that anticipation, Allah Pak is going to give him something. So all these people are going to watch now what is being given. You know, he won the marathon now. When he won the marathon, aren't we also anxious to see now what he's got? He came out first this year. He broke the record. So he got $10 million from America and £50 million from England. Australia gave him another £100 million. Now, won't we then wish that we could be in his place? Just struggle, just go through a difficulty and be in that person's place. Won't we wish for that when we see what he is being blessed with? We see the rewards that he has been given coming into his account. It's flowing from all parts, everywhere. It's flowing into his account. Then won't we wish for that? We'll all wish for that. But what is the winning point? Winning point is death. Before that, it's too early to rejoice. It's naive. It's stupidity. It's wrong for you to rejoice before that. Whatever came, whatever influence, whatever affluence, whatever came, it's wrong. The winning point is death. When the winning point is death, then we need to work till that point. Before that, if any difficulty came or any prosperity came, then we're not supposed to be rejoicing, nor are we supposed to be gloomy about it. Not to be rejoicing too much. All right, we'll be happy a little bit. Alhamdulillah, I got something. Like the person is in the marathon, he sees he's in front of the others, right? He'll be happy a little bit, but not to be obsessed. Not to be consumed with the happiness. Because if he's obsessed, he'll become complacent. He won't continue. He'll stop there. Right? He'll take courage from it. I'm ahead of the others. I need to move on. I need to see that I break the record. So he'll continue. If he's wise, he will continue. He's not going to stop there. He's not going to take a breather. He's going to continue with the race. So similarly, when we are racing towards the akhirat, these things are going to happen. When they're going to happen, then at no point can we become complacent. No point can we become despondent. The person that is in the last also, he can also come in. He can also win. Can't he come? So when he can win, the chances for him to win is there still. Then he also needs to strive. Allah Pak says, no, even if you come last, but you make it within this framework, I'll still get you in. Even if you're coming with a slow delay, but do it with this. It's not like the marathon, only a third or the 10th person gets a reward. Yeah, even the 1,000th person will get the reward. But you do it with my conditions, I will still see you. I will still see you gracefully. I will still favor you. So the person that is weak, he also got no reason to become despondent. And the person that is strong, steady, he's got no reason to become complacent. Both will need to strive. And they'll strive till which point? Till the winning point. And the winning point is death. Right? That's the winning point. So the easy thing for us to ask for, to beg for, and to pine for is wasalullaha min fadli. Ask Allah Ta'ala and ask for His grace all the time. Be happy, because His grace will come to you when you're happy with Him. But when you're not happy with him, then how can he be graceful to you? It's like your boss, right? The boss has given you 100 rands. Oh, so you're complaining to him. You know, such a lousy piece of paper you've given me. You know, you may need it more than I need it. Will he be happy with you? He won't be happy with this. Yeah, boss, thanks, but I wouldn't have got a job, you know. Alhamdulillah, at least I got something for myself and for my children. May God reward you. So the boss feels happy. If you're happy with the giver, he'll feel happier with you. Tomorrow he'll say, all right, let me give him even more. If I'm 100, let me double it, 200. Say, hey, boss, you overpaid me, man. Boss, you know, you sure you're giving me this? You overpaid me. So how good the boss doesn't feel. This person is so appreciative. He'll give you even more. And when you, then when you increase, then he'll give you even more. So what you're getting, you are thankful, you are happy, very, very comfortable, relaxed. So within you, you'll feel very happy. Then you'll feel composed, calm. People around you, they're also feeling very calm and composed. No fight. But if you're not happy, you'll feel miserable within yourself. Then you'll be complaining. Then there'll be fights. So you're not happy, and there's fights around you. There's misery within you, misery around you. So you brought any good to yourself? Do you bring any good to the people around? No. The least you could have done is bring some good towards people that are around you. So no good to yourself did you do, no good to the people that were around. Nowhere there was good. Why? Because you were not content. Right. Right. So look at this verse again. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ Ask for Allah Ta'ala's grace, be happy. For you to be eligible to His grace, you must be happy for yourself and think that you have got more than what you could bargain for. Not only think, be convinced. So that is the price that you have to pay. You know, for everything you have to pay a price. This is the price that you have to pay. That I must think, I must be convinced that I've got much more than what I'm eligible for. I'm too happy with Allah Ta'ala. I'm too happy for what He's given me. Allah Ta'ala, you've given me so much. So much you've given me. So I'm not complaining, I'm happy with Allah Ta'ala. He's going to give me even more. Now I was talking about that person that they're coming to the winning line. That patient came also to the winning line. Everybody came to the winning line. They got their whatever their rewards were, they got. Now the patient, what he got? He got so much and he got so much and so much. That the others are thinking, at that winning point, they are thinking, but they're thinking, you know, he went through some difficulty and he got this. But the immense reward that he's got, and the fact that life is irreversible, right? And for the immense reward that he's got, you know, we only long if our whole body was stripped to pieces, bits and pieces, cut mercilessly, our entire body was ripped to pieces. And we could have endured. And then we could have also been eligible for the reward that he's got. But now life is irreversible. You can't do it again. We can't get that life again, you see. So our failure is that we fail to read life. Had we read life in the correct context, then we wouldn't have brought this type of failure to us. But because we couldn't read life in the right perspective, so we bring difficulty upon ourselves. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.